Blog Talk Radio.
Radio. You're listening to Mark Ross, and I'd like to welcome everybody in this month of December and the holiday season for everybody. You can start to tell, even down in Tampa, Florida, where I'm actually broadcasting from this evening, it's actually gotten a little bit cold, and that's a very big difference, even for us being down in Florida. We have a very special guest joining us this evening, but I'm going to start by introducing my co-host, Pamela Torr. Pam, are you there?
Hi, Mark. Yes, I'm right here.
Yeah, so I'd ask you how the weather is, but you're not that too far away from me. So.
I'm an hour from you, yeah. I'm still in Florida. And it's really been a beautiful day, even though it's getting a bit chilly. It's not anything compared to where our guest is tonight. Let's talk about our guest. Can I go ahead and introduce her? Tonight we have this dynamic teacher, inspirational speaker, gifted meditation guide, award-winning author, and international Akashic Record expert, Miss Linda Howell. Linda, are you there?
I'm here. Hey, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It's wonderful to be with everybody this evening.
It's lovely to have you here. We're both excited about this show.
Yeah, I was kind of sharing with both of them before we went on the air this evening that, you know, as I had started my spiritual journey, probably going on a little bit over 3 years ago, one of the first teachers that I studied with was you. And it was just such an incredible experience to dive into the material of the records. And I think, like myself, you know, the audience is really going to be interested in hearing about the records and really learning about the teachings and everything like that. I know I consider you to be the world expert when it comes to the records, and it's a great honor to have you on the radio show this evening.
Oh, great. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Yes, you know, the records, you know, it's a very interesting time in history and in the evolution of human consciousness. And it is, you know, we're all really blessed to be here at a time when the Akashic Record is available to secular people. This is the first time in history where ordinary people like you and I have the privilege, really, of engaging with our own records in a very conscious, responsible, and deliberate way. Akasha is a Sanskrit word, okay? Yes. And what it means is primary substance. That's what that is. And the records, it's so interesting. The Akashic Record, there's a lot of old ideas about the record, right? Like it's this book of life and it's in stone and oh my heavens, you know, a little bit intimidating, actually very intimidating. And the truth is the record really is awe-inspiring, but in a real positive way. What the record is a soul-level dimension of consciousness. That's what the records are. It's the soul-level dimension of consciousness. And it contains, it's a vibrational archive of every soul. Everybody's in it, every soul and their journey. Okay, so it's unseen, right? It's something that we perceive, we sense, we feel, some people hear, some people see, but it's, for most of us, it's this sense of knowing. It's not the best. It's not the best oracle for divination. It's really not. You know, it's not like the Akashic Record doesn't matter from an Akashic Record standpoint. You know, if you wear the blue sweater or the red one, or you know, it's like these things don't really matter. What the record is about is who am I, and who am I becoming, and how do I know myself. Right? And when we work in the records, it's very, very exciting. If I'm working in my own records or in someone else's, the opportunity of the record is to begin to consciously see or register or recognize myself and others from the perspective of the soul. So it's the altitude, right? It's an altitude because it's, you know, the soul is a higher plane. It's a higher plane or it's a deeper plane. So it's the opportunity is to take a look and see who am I from the perspective of my soul. Very, very exciting. There's two sets to everyone, or two components to each set of records. So like, you know, Pamela, your records, there are two parts. There's the fixed, and that's, that's like the blueprint of your soul. It's the real etching. It's like your thumbprint, only it's your soul print. It's who you are as a soul existing through time and space. And what travels along with that is a catalog of the lifetimes you live, within which you become aware of the blueprint. Okay, and that part, like this catalog, like the chronicles of you, those are changeable, right? Those are evolving. So those are the two parts to every set of records, and we're all in them. We can't throw anyone out. it's like the first, you know, it's a great dimension of unity, right? Which is one of the key notes of the new chapter that we're opening up into, right? In this time, so it's very exciting, and it's very exciting to be able to work in the records.
Can I ask you a question? I'm sorry to interrupt.
Of course.
I have a question about memory and electromagnetic memory. Like my experience is that when someone passes on, their memory, they still know who they are. They still have their memories. They're electromagnetic. Now, is the Akashic Record made up of the same electromagnetic frequencies? Is that what holds the memories in place?
Do you know, this is a wonderful question. I don't know the answer. I don't know specifically. What I know from an Akashic, an Akashic perspective, there resides within the Akasha a dimension of loved ones, right? Those who have those that we've known in this lifetime who have passed on, who we recognize through their personality identity, right? I don't know. Is it electromagnetic? I don't know about that. I'm not a scientist. I do know that, like Dr. Irvin Laszlo has done a tremendous amount of work in the last few years. He's got a wonderful book called Science in the Akashic Field. The second edition is tremendous, in which he talks about the composition, right, the scientific composition. In my work, I really am centered on the use of the Akasha, right, the Akashic field, the Akashic dimension, as a resource for consciousness development, right, a dimension, right, a space from within which we can transform. So it's a little bit of a different angle than the science, and I'm sorry, I don't know about the, I don't have anything to say about electromagnetics.
No, okay, thank you. That's a good answer. Can you use the Akashic Record for healing?
God, that's a juicy question. All right. Do you know what? Let me tell you what. I love this question. So it's great. Okay, here's how this goes. It's a wonderful, wonderful question. Okay, now here's the deal. The Akashic Record is a dimension that is ideal. It's like a crucible of consciousness within which healing occurs. Now, the name, you know, my first book is How to Read the Akashic Records. Okay, so that's a whole piece of the puzzle. The next piece of the puzzle is this healing through the Akashic Records. And the distinction, the first distinction we make when it comes to healing through the records is that it really is healing through the records, not healing by the records. It's not like I would open your records and you would be bombarded with something called healing, right? Mm-hmm. Or it's not like I would go into my own records and they would do something to me, right? That's not what this is. It's much more that it's an ideal domain. It's like a sanctuary. It's infinitely safe. And within the Akasha, what happens is that, well, a couple things happen. One is we begin to recognize our experiences, our patterns of thought, behavior, all kinds of habit patterns, this lifetime, other lifetimes. What we begin to do is identify who we are and how our life experiences are all supporting us to the ultimate healing, right? Which is, from an Akashic perspective, the journey of the soul through time as human, right? That's what the records are about. They're not about extraplanetary activity. They're about the human journey, the soul in the human journey. Okay, now, from a records point of view, what we begin to see is that there is in some ways a grand conspiracy, if you will, or a convergence where everything is aligned, everything is driving, it's governing, it's propelling, it's compelling us to awaken to our own infinite goodness. And that is when we begin to see ourselves and our circumstances from that perspective, a relationship to healing shifts. Because what it begins to look like is that our difficulties, right, our human difficulties, be it a health problem, a money problem, a relationship issue, whatever it is, you know, the old idea is that as a human being, I have problems because I'm a sinner. That was a very popular idea for a few thousand years. And we all thought it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then
the
last 50 years, we got the idea that, wait a second, Okay, so we're too cool. I mean, we're not sinners anymore. We're just unenlightened. So if I could just get enlightened and think the right thoughts and, I don't know, correct my belief system, then no evil fate will befall me. But the fact of the matter is that we all keep having these experiences that are very difficult. Our feelings get hurt, we have broken hearts, we have broken legs, we have broken families, we lose our jobs, we lose our way. I mean, all kinds of stuff. The human experience is fraught with difficulty. And normally, historically, what we as human beings have done has said, oh, these difficulties are evidence that I'm flawed, that something's wrong, that I'm unworthy. Right? Evidence of a problem. So I have to tell you, this is how this went down. This is very exciting to me, obviously. So here's the thing. So in my own work, I noticed for myself, certainly, you know, I came upon the records. I'd been working for a while, and I thought, well, I've got the method. I should not have any more problems. I shouldn't. Or if I have them, they shouldn't bother me because I've arrived. Well, anyway. So here's what begins to happen. I begin to take my personal issues into my own records. And I ask, you know, my partner and I are raising a son. I'm like, how do I raise this boy in a way that brings out the best in him, right? How do I do that? How can I be a good daughter, right? I'm a sister. I've got siblings, how can I be a good, you know, sister? How do I do this?
Mm-hmm.
How can I be the person, right? And then, of course, you know, I'm in a relationship. My partner and I, we've been together a long time. A long time is like 28 years. And along the way, you know, we've hit good times, we've hit difficult times. And I go into my records. I'm like, how can I be a good mate? You know, or I would say, oh, I'm never going, you know, I'm never going to lose my temper again or be, I don't know, rude or whatever. And no matter what I do, every problem I bring into the record, I say, you know, I did it again, whatever it is. You know, I said the wrong thing or whatever I did. I did it again. And I go in the records and here's what I get. It's okay. Of course you did. And no matter what I bring into my own records, the experience I have is of being understood, cared for, accepted. Whereas my way with myself is to say, knock it off. Cut it out. Enough already. You should know already. You shouldn't be, right, like this. And I'm a little uncomfortable with this response from the records. So I bring it to my students. And they, too, begin to have these experiences. And over time, what's revealed to me is a protocol for healing, and it is truly the practice of unconditional self-love. Because until there is self-acceptance, we cannot retain, it is very hard to retain healing energy when there is self-rejection present. You know, the ultimate, like, you know, the big cheese of all devastating human experiences is self-abandonment. And so the question in the, you know, how can I love myself? Not as an idea. You know, what I've learned in my own records is that the practice of unconditional love is the highest spiritual practice that there is.
Wow.
To say to myself, no matter what, oh, honey, of course, these things happen. So as I begin to accept, right, to not resist, to not reject, to not judge, you know, to condemn myself or others for being human, what happens is everything changes. And that I begin to see that these illnesses and these difficulties, perhaps, the idea is that when I have a difficulty, the question is, can I love myself even though I'm sick? Can I love myself even though I'm not a gazillionaire? Can I love myself even though my relationship is, you know, whatever, upside down? See, this is, and in the records, so the first piece in healing through the records, not by the records, but through the records, is that the wounds we sustained, the injuries, which are common to the human condition, these wounds, maybe what it's really about is they are a portal through which we can encounter infinite compassion and mercy, the presence of the divine reality. I mean,
Is that what you meant by, what I'm looking at the word sacred wound. Is that what you meant by
sacred wounds,
that?
Right. That these wounds, right, these wounds that we have, the truth is they're a sacred opportunity.
I see.
And does that make sense? Am I making sense?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
you know,
definitely. Yep.
I do a lot of spirit guide work, and just to sort of equate this with some of the work that I do, one of the things that spirit guides, they actually have the file from the life that you're in right now, and they don't have any judgment. There's no judgment as to, oh, well, this car accident is bad or that particular life-enhancing situation is good. It's from an Akashic perspective, it's all perfect.
Right. Right.
So is that what you mean by the Akashic record? It never judges. There's always this unconditional flow.
at the point that you're injured, at the point that you're hurt in this life, something terrible happens to you. That wound, that's the point that you reach. Is that what you mean? That's the point that you look for other answers. Or am I off base?
No, you're right. So it's interesting. Okay. So here's at the point of injury, right? Whatever kind of injury, be it physical, emotional, whatever. The point of injury, this is the challenge for a human being is, can I stay with myself even though I'm injured? Do I condemn myself because this happened? Right? Do I abandon myself because I've been a victim? You know, we live in a culture that really has great contempt for victims. And one of the great, and the problem is, at some point for human beings, everybody gets bumped around a little. It's not personal. It's the way it is, you know, in different forms. And so the question is, you know, I mean, for so many, it's like, wow, can I love myself even though I've been victimized?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is a huge challenge.
Very true.
It's very challenging. So,
I think the sacred wound concept is fascinating. So, what I'm not quite clear on is the idea of the sacred wound connecting you to the Akashic record.
It doesn't.
Okay.
So here's that's very interesting. Okay. Listen, everybody's connected to their records, whether they know it or not.
Yes.
Okay, let's go there. I mean, that's the truth. Okay. So, and here's what the record is in very practical terms. The Akashic record is a bridge of light. Okay, it's a soul-level dimension of consciousness. So it is the soul. The Akashic record is the bridge of light connecting the soul to the source. That's what the record is. It's a path of light through which we travel, becoming transformed, you know, facilitating our conscious connection with the divine. That's what happens within the record. Okay.
So how does the wound become sacred?
The wound becomes sacred when we recognize, okay, It's not even when, I would say it's actually as I recognize that the incident that I have used as a device to condemn, negatively judge myself, first of all, for having an injury, God forbid, but truly, right? Be mad, okay, so that's the first thing, that the device that I have, the incident, the experience that I have used as a wedge of separation between myself and myself, you know, between me and myself, between myself and others, and ultimately between myself and my awareness, you know, of the divine reality. Okay? So what happens is when I begin to recognize the wound is actually the way in, okay, rather than the separation device, it is an opportunity to recognize that there's really nothing that I can ever do or fail to do that can separate me from the divine. There's nothing anyone can do to me. I don't care if they hit you with the frying pan. It cannot separate you from the divine. There's nothing anyone can do to you, against you, about you, nothing you can do or, you know, with regard to other people. It is unshakable. And that's what we see in the record. Within the record, we see that there is nothing that can be done to put out the light that lives within each and every one of us.
The new book that you've, the last book that you've written, Healing Through the Akashic Record, you talk about healing in the book, three levels of healing. Could you explain that to us?
Sure. So, from a record standpoint, there are three levels, right? Three stages of healing. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing I'm going to say is that when we work within the Akasha, the healing is non-intrusive and non-invasive. Okay, so what that means is I never send you energy. I don't send you light. I don't do that. And by the same token, I don't take any from you either. It's only fair, right? We're going to leave it. But see, from a record's point of view, when I begin to look at who you are from the perspective of your soul in your records, it is easier for me to identify the perfection of your soul, that your soul is intact, that it is perfect and whole and complete. And as I begin, you know, a soul recognized is a soul awakened, right? So as a practitioner, that's what I'm doing. Now, the first level is the story. Okay, we all have a story. Everybody's got a story. Some stories are more dramatic than others. Some lifetimes are, you know, whatever. But everybody has a story. Right, there's always a something that happened. Okay? So the first level is to describe what happened. What happened and what are the consequences? In real ordinary terms, right, description is powerful. Within the Akasha, energy moves on the formed word, most powerfully spoken, and then after that it's like written and thought, but on the formed word. So as we begin to describe what it seems like, things change, things move and they morph, right? So we want to describe what happened and the consequences. The second level is the level of causes and conditions. Personally, I love level two. At the level of causes and conditions, this is where we get to look at, you know, things like environmental factors, ancestral influence. Like, I have the pattern, you know, it's like it's hard for me to speak up for myself, right? That's my pattern. And interesting, all my sisters have it, and so do my mother and my aunts and my grandmother, right? We call that an ancestral pattern. It's like, holy tamale. But see, causes and conditions are great. This is astrology comes in here. You know, oh, I have this difficulty because I have no earth in my chart, or whatever it is, right?
Right.
This is fun. Causes and conditions are fun. It's the level of explanation and understanding, okay? Great fun. But the third level is where the action is, from an Akashic perspective. Because this is the soul level truth. And at this level, as a practitioner, whether I'm working in my own records or yours, what I'm looking for is how does this very difficult experience support you in knowing your own goodness? How does this do that? How could it possibly do that? How could this possibly support your awakening? How could this encourage you to know really that you are the divine spark, right? How can this help that? How, I mean, really the turbocharged healing question, which I love, is how does this benefit me? I am not saying how do I like this? I'm not saying how is this, you know, this isn't punitive. It's like, wait a minute here. Everything that happens is part of a grand design, if you will, to awaken us to our goodness, not to prove to us what a bunch of schmucks we are. So how could this experience, if it's a car accident, a broken leg, a broken heart, a broken wallet, it doesn't matter. How could this possibly be supporting me in knowing my essential goodness? And that's the challenge of an Akashic Record practitioner, to begin to see to see the self and others from the perspective, right, from the soul level perspective. So those are the three levels. And in every session, right, in every reading, this is these three stages are covered. You know, sometimes the story is short, sometimes the story is long. I mean, you
right.
understand how this goes, right?
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So do you, you know, when you go and you do work with somebody like that, I assume you have to have permission to go in and pull their records or to go into the records to give them information.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, that's really good. This is, you know, in this work, we only work with people with their permission. It's the only way. And we don't work with children. This is for people over 18. This is adult work, okay? And it's really about, you know, it's about taking responsibility. And I know, you know, one of the guidelines for doing good work in the records is, you know, that we don't read anyone without their permission. Because if someone can't ask, they're not ready. You know, even if I may think that it would be so great for you to have a reading. Oh, I could be all excited. God, it'd be great to read you. I can offer it. I can say, listen, Mark, if you ever want a reading, just let me know. But the fact of the matter is, if you are unable as a human being to ask, you don't need a read. People live many lifetimes without ever having a reading. So we leave them alone. It is not for us to say who gets a reading. It's up for each individual to determine whether or not they even want this. Not everybody wants this. That's all right.
I know that you teach all around the country, so you teach people how to do readings of the records, and I assume that part of your class students are people who want to learn how to do this for themselves, and part of these are light workers who want to do it to learn to help others. What do you think is the biggest challenge that students who take this first class have in being introduced to the records?
It's a great question. Okay. I think the greatest challenge is trusting that you're in the records and being led.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is the biggest challenge because, and really what happens in a class is it's an opportunity to find out how it is for you, right? Because this is about your relationship with the records. And we're all a little different, right? Some of us are very audio, some of us are visual, some of us just have sense of knowing. And so the purpose of the class really is to give students, to give people an opportunity to find out how it works for them so they can find their own way and make their connection with this realm of consciousness. And so it can be confusing, right? I think one of the things is there are a lot of old ideas, there's a lot of old superstitions about the records, right? Superstitions about, and all kinds of stuff, right? And so one of the real challenges is being able to identify and report, and I want to say to claim your own individual experience. And it's very challenging, okay? Because culturally, we are very used to being spiritual adolescents, right? Like almost like, we are the first generation that we're like the bridge generation. You know, our predecessors, I mean, people did not go to have direct access with their own soul. This is unheard of 50 years ago. The exception was Edgar Cayce, and this guy was he was unconscious.
Mm-hmm.
And that's only like 60 years ago. Do you see? So we're doing this now consciously. Mm-hmm. And you know what? We don't have, you know, it's not like we have a lot of role models here. We're finding our way.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know.
And that takes practice.
Thank you for that. Another question I have is, I know, because I did psychic development and I worked in psychic development circles for a number of years, that there's a general, I would say, superstition or belief out there that it's very easy when you have the ability to read and give readings for other people, but when you try to do a reading or make that connection for yourself, sometimes that can be very difficult. You know, it's always like, you know, especially if you talk to, you know, what people consider to be the higher level psychics who do it professionally and do tons of readings, they'll be the first to admit to say, you know what, when I need a reading, I got to go find a good psychic. Do you find that that's the case when you are working with the records, or do you feel that people can easily access their own records and get guidance and learn and stuff and grow as a soul from their own records?
This is really great. Okay. You know, because there are a number of questions embedded in this, but here's the thing. The records, I mean, you know this, right? The records, this is not a psychic dimension. You do not have to be psychic. You don't even have to be intuitive. You just don't worry about that. This is about a more conscious relationship with your own soul. And everybody has that. And if you're looking, if you're willing to, I want to say, be with yourself as you grow into it, anybody who wants to can do this for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, for themselves. This is a path of consciousness development. It's like a sanctuary. It's this realm of unconditional love and respect within which it is so much easier to know the truth, to recognize the truth, and to begin to experiment with living a life based on soul-level truths. Now, that is different than getting like an intuitive hit, a psychic impression. It's a whole different animal. Okay, that said, so my own experience, you know, I work in the records for myself, right? And I have been. I learned how to work in the records in 94. I started teaching in 96. This is what I do all the time, 7 days a week, basically. I do it all the time. I have my own practice. And through this practice, a little bit at a time, so much has been revealed to me. I'm on my third book. You know what I'm saying? But it did not come, this is not like automatic writing or trance channeling, where I'm like out cold and this information is pouring through me. Au contraire. This is about me very consciously and deliberately being present to my experience, describing what that is, writing it in my journal, raising questions, engaging in these explorations about those matters that are really important to me. Like, really, how can I be the person God made me to be? How do I do that? Please, I could use some help. But seriously, right? And over time, I think if people who want magic are always very upset with the records. People who want someone to tell them what to do are they have these relationships of great frustration with the records. Because the records, this is not about some oracle, a deity telling us what to do. It's not what this is. This is about the light of the soul being awakened. And us, I want to say, really, how do I use my human self to be the perfect vehicle for my soul? That's what this is about. It's a slower process, I'm sorry to say. But it's true. Okay, but I want to talk about one other thing, because you mentioned something else. Very, very interesting. On the path, right, whatever path we're on the journey, there are, as we know, you know, there are parts that we can only do alone, that we can, you know, there are things that I have to do for myself. I am the one who must tell my own truth. I am the one who must take the actions I believe I'm being guided to take. No one can do those things for me. And at the same time, there are other parts. There are times I am just a person, and you are just a person, and the greatest psychic in the world is just a mortal being with imperfections and limitations and all those things. And so the way it's designed, we're here to help each other. So there are times when it is wise. It is a great sign of spiritual, we'll call it spiritual maturity, right? Where I recognize I cannot do this part alone. I need someone, you know, I need the perspective of someone who's further along. I need to talk to someone else. I need to reason things out. So do you see, and I think it's a very interesting thing, you know, to recognize when do I need help and when do I need to go it alone, right?
Yeah.
And I think this is what being stuck is all, that's why being stuck is so important. Because when we're stuck, my tendency is to not ask for help. But I hate to be stuck. So when I'm really stuck, I ask for help. Even though my pride takes a beating, it's all right. But
so,
you see, I mean, you get it. It's a very dynamic process.
Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to take a quick break and just announce to everybody that you are listening to Spiritual Connections Radio. If you want to find out more about our current guest or upcoming guest as far as our show schedule for the next 2 or 3 months, you can visit us on the internet at www.spiritualconnectionsradio.com. And Linda, I'll let you go ahead and announce your website so people can find out more about your classes and your upcoming events and more about the work that you do.
Okay, great, great. So my website is Akashic Studies, AKASHIC, AkashicStudies.com. You can also go to LindaHowe.com, HOWE. And on the website, you'll just find all kinds of great things. I do have classes. I have some online classes. Actually, next week, very excited, I'm going to be doing an hour-long on the 21st at high noon central. I'm going to be doing an hour-long class, a shared experience, Akashic Visionaries, right, at the 2012 Akashic Visionaries meeting. So, and everyone is welcome. It's going to be wonderful. I do have some, like, practitioner certification courses and some other. I mean, if you look on the website, you'll see I also have my two books, How to Read the Akashic Records and Healing Through the Akashic Records, both award-winning books, and you can get those through the site. The other thing is that I'm available for consultations. You know, I love to work in the records, and I really love to work with people. And you can find out about setting up an appointment, and feel free, you know, look at it, and if you want, you can schedule a time, and we can work together. So that's what I have going on at this point.
Can you tell us a little bit about the new book that's coming out, like when it's coming out and what it's going to be about?
Okay. All right. So here's the thing. I don't know when it's going to come out sometime next year.
Okay.
That's all I know. Okay. That's what I know. But I'll tell you when it is. You know, my first book, How to Read the Akashic Records, is about the method, the pathway prayer process that was revealed to me. It was revealed to me in 2001. It's the method. It's what the records are and how they work and how they're organized and what's available and some of the real fundamentals of having an Akashic adventure, right? Past life work and clearing unwanted ancestral patterns and energy healing in the records. That's the first book. The second book is this, Healing Through the Akashic Records, right, where we look at healing our relationship with ourselves, healing our relationships with others, moving from resentment to acceptance with other people. I'm learning about the practice of unconditional love for ourselves and then how to extend that to other people and what's involved in that. I also have in there the Freedom from Limiting Patterns, which is so exciting. Oh, my God, it's great. And then the Ascension Matrix as well, which was revealed to me. It was all revealed to me through my work in the records. But the matrix, right, that we all have within us that facilitates our ascending, because this is the time of the Great Ascension, right? And so that's all in the second book. The next piece of the work, so the second book is about personal healing, right? Getting healed, being healed enough, right, to go out into the world. And here's the third piece in this. It's a trilogy, really. And it's your extraordinary life, okay, manifesting your soul's purposes. And this is really, really exciting because it addresses the question, how do I, as an awakened being, live in the world? How do I do that? What does it take? What's involved? And in this, we address a few things. One is a series of concepts, right, that beginning with incarnation, authority, discipline, responsibility, and commitment, that what I found in my own process is that, you know, I had some real problems even with being incarnate. I was not too happy. I'm like, wait a second. The body, you know, I'm trapped. Oh, my God. It's the wrong body. It's the wrong body. It's the wrong family, right? It's the wrong planet. And the fact is, there's nothing wrong. It's all right. It's all perfect. And so, but until I make peace with the reality of my incarnation at this point in time, I am ineffective. And that's the first section, and we go on, and the same, and then we move on to authority. Until and unless I am in harmony with the reality of authority, the fact as a human being, you know, I'm not the God of the universe. Okay, I'm just not. None of us is. And so we address all these things. This was all revealed to me through my work in the records. And then we move into balancing our own internal triangle, which is heart, mind, and will. Because see, we've been living in the heart mind, right? I mean, the last 30 years in the mass consciousness, we have really cleared that passageway, and it's beautiful. But now it's time to include the will, which is about demonstrating. It's about action. It's about living on purpose. And that is really one of the great opportunities and challenges of the next chapter that we're stepping into. Very, very exciting. So that's what the next book is about. You know, because really the question, I think, that so many of us as light workers, you know, we spent a lot of time visualizing, and it's been very good. But we know it is time to step into the world, right, and to be the light, to be that which we're hoping somebody else does. Nobody's coming. It's our job. And right? And so, but it's like, you know, and we can do this. It's what else is there to do? It's the best thing in the world. Anyway, I am very, very excited about this work. And you know, always it's the privilege of, you know, it's the privilege of 75 lifetimes that I get to do this. And so I'm really grateful. Thank you.
That's great. Let me ask you a question, Linda. The ascension matrix, how does it operate? Is there any relationship between the ascension matrix and the DNA matrix, as an example?
I don't see it that way. That's not how I mean, I'm not saying it isn't. You are very scientific. I have got to hand it to you. Holy smokes, you've got it. That's great. Do you know, I just don't know. Here's what I do know. The ascension matrix, okay, here's the matrix. Everyone has this in them, okay? We all have it. We just have to activate the dang thing. Here's what it's, as you know, a matrix is composed of three energetic components, okay, that work together to facilitate or activate or, right, to initiate something new. Okay, here's the matrix. The first part is gratitude. There are three parts: gratitude, grace, and generosity. Gratitude gives us momentum. Okay? It's cumulative. So the more grateful we can be, and we don't want to be dishonest. This is not Pollyanna. This is just being mostly grateful most of the time, right? We want to go for 51%. But grateful, right? What this does is it gives us momentum, keeps our feet on the ground, gives us momentum so that we gather enough speed, enough escape speed, if you will, to break through our current limitations. It gives us a running start, yeah? So we have gratitude. Then we have grace. Grace is the catalyst. And the catalyst is that element which activates the change but remains the same. Now, the thing about grace is always present. It's infinite. It's eternal. It's imminent. It's always present. It's like spiritual DNA, what do you call it, MSG. This, you know, it's an enhancer. It's incredible stuff. So we've got grace. And that really gets the whole thing going. And then we have generosity. Generosity gives us buoyancy. It's about actual giving, okay? Because as we give, we really do lighten up. And in lightening up, we become more buoyant. So we begin to rise above life, okay? It's like we can... You know, I mean, we all hear this, you know, to live in the world but not of it. As we give whatever we have, okay, whether it's time, money, attention, doesn't matter. It's what can I give now? And all of this, the matrix is always activated in the present, okay? And we want to look. It doesn't matter where we started, right? It doesn't matter. You know, I might not feel that grateful. But I could have something to give, right? I'll do that. Okay, I can give with a bad attitude. That's all right. We have to start somewhere. Okay, so I give. I give something, right? I give something, and I start to get a little buoyancy. I start to get a little spring in my step. And perhaps then I can find a little gratitude within myself. And then I become aware of this grace, this quality that is so much greater than my personal self, right? That is bringing an awareness of a dimension of greater aliveness, yes? And then the matrix starts to move, right? And so what happens is I live in the world making my contribution, participating, moving beyond my personal limitations, giving the best of who I am, enjoying and appreciating life, and truly then joining the ranks of the ascending masters, right, the ascending ones. You know, this ascension is a consequence. It's an ongoing consequence of our consciousness. It's not an event. For a long time, I thought it was an event. I was hoping the spaceship would come, right? And we'd all ascend. I didn't know what was, you know, I thought they were going to put a tow rope, right? Here in Chicago, right? And we'd all grab on and find ourselves in another galaxy. No. You know, it's so interesting because it's with this ascension matrix. It's like I don't want to sound too cultish, but it's kind of like we fall into line with those who've gone before us and opened the way to greater light, right? We become part of that whole community, you know, that path of light. You know, the path of light is made up of light beings, of people who are awakening. We are the path. Very, very exciting. And as we consciously step into it, we make room for those who follow us. It's really so beautiful, and it's quite simple. I think this ascension matrix is deceptively simple. Yes.
Well, you know, sometimes the most powerful things are the simplest.
I know. Isn't that something?
And you're so busy looking for the complicated path, and the simplicity is right there all along.
Isn't that funny? That's true, right? It's so true. It's like, ay, ay, ay.
So what do you think 1221 means for everybody?
I'll tell you what. I'm excited about it, right? Of course, it's exciting. I mean, this is why we're here. I wouldn't miss it, and neither would you guys. I mean, this is the best. Here's really, the fact of the matter is the shift is underway. It's like, you know, we're entering a new chapter. This is a new chapter, and it's here. It's a matter of days, and it's here. And I know that I have to turn the page in my own life, and I know you have to turn your own page. And I know that, you know, there's no shift going to happen. I mean, it's happening. It's underway. It's in the space. But I know what's really being called forth is that I step into the next chapter in my experience, and that as each one of us does this consciously, that the collective is transforming. It is a new era. You know, we're shifting from being externally determined to internally, from having other people tell us who we should be to living out of who we know ourselves to be, from the age of the priest and, you know, all these spiritual authorities. This is the first time in history when secular people like ourselves we know we are entitled to a conscious relationship with our own soul and with the divine. It is so exciting. It is so beautiful. It is so beautiful. And the fact of the matter is, we haven't done this before, and we don't know what we're doing. That's all right. So it's a little messy. That's all right. You know, so I say, let's make room for the mess and know that we are being led. And we're being led to really to, you know, the life of our dreams. Mm. So it's a good thing.
Well, thank you for being on the show this evening. You know, it almost becomes my brand to say this word, and that it's amazing how quickly an hour goes. I want to thank you for being here with us. And Pam, it's always great to have you on the show as my co-host. Always incredible. Pam is actually a spiritual teacher who teaches both here and outside the United States. And you've been listening to Spiritual Connections Radio, and you can find us on the internet at www.spiritualconnectionsradio.com. And Linda, if you could just give everybody your email address before we sign off. Email address.
I got it. You can reach me at Akashic Studies, AKASHIC, AkashicStudies.com or LindaHowe.com.
Excellent. Thanks a lot for having you both on this evening. It's great to have you on. I wish you both, for you and your families, a happy holiday, and also wishing that out to our audience, that you have a great holiday. And thank you, everybody.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Life is but a dream.